The previous verse which we concluded in the previous class, Ramana Maharishi tells the difference between the meditation and contemplation. And he says contemplation is more superior and contemplation is the most sacred. And contemplation is the sacred, the more sacred than the meditation. Even though contemplation is meditation, wherein meditation involves what? Is Bheda Bhavana and Abheda Bhavana. Bhavana or Bhavanam means thinking. Bhavana is a thought. So Bheda Bhavana means what? No, Bheda Bhavanam, entertaining the notion of difference, the view of difference between the meditator and the meditated. The Lord is the meditated. What that which is meditated upon is the Lord, and the meditator is, here you. So the difference, if you think I am different from the Lord, that meditation, then that with an understanding we meditate upon that Veda, the meditation which involves Veda Bhavana, wherein the difference is still there, that is okay, but still Abheda Bhavana, Abhida Bhavana is Pavani. In Abhida Bhavana, what Abheda Bhavana, there you understand that reality is in fact Aham. I am that reality. Saha Aham. Saha Bhagavan Aham Asmi. Sat Brahma Aham Asmi. I am that reality, that Lord. In this, I am not different from the Lord. I am non-separate from the Lord. This understanding, having understanding is what? Abheda Bhavana. So having the Abheda Bhavana, the view of non-difference, vision of non-difference between the Ishra and the Jiva, the meditator and the meditated, is in fact Pavani. Bhavana is a feminine word, therefore Pavani. Pavani Mata, it is in fact said to be more sacred. And here, that means to have that Abheda Bhavana, how should you meditate? In meditation, you have Bheda Bhavana. In contemplation, there is no Bheda Bhavana. There is Abheda Bhavana. That means you know you are non-separate from the Lord. You are non-different from the Lord, that which is meditated upon. How is it possible? Therefore, meditate, focusing the attention of the mind on the very nature of the reality, very swarupam of the reality, is in fact having Abheda Bhavana. Why? Because why there is non-difference between the meditator and the meditated? Who is involved in this act of meditation? Mind, isn't it? Attention of the mind is focused on what? The very nature of the reality. How can you meditate upon the nature of the reality? Meditating upon the nature of the reality means meditating upon the very reality. We say, you're all meditating up, you all focus attention on the light. When I say, you all focus attention on the what? Swarupam of the sun. Swarupam of the light. Isn't it? So nature of the reality means what? Focusing the attention of the mind on the very swarupam of the reality means focusing the attention of the mind on very reality. So how can you focus attention of the mind on something which you do not know at all? You must have already known. Therefore, meditating upon something which is unknown is not at all possible. That is why first you have to recognize, you have to know what the reality is. Having known what the reality is, and then you have to, by focusing the attention on the reality, you eliminate also what? In fact, what reality is not, it also becomes very clear, which is khandanam. And having recognized, having very clearly understood what reality is not, you ascertain what exactly the reality is. It what is mandanam. In fact, understand now, you ascertain that. But without knowing, you cannot do that. First, you have to know what the reality is. That is why we need shastram, we need sampradaya, we need a tradition. the reality of the Jagat is what? Sat of the Jagat, the existence of the Jagat. Like H2O is the existence of the ocean. Why do you say existence of H2O is the existence of the ocean? Therefore, H2O is the existence of the ocean. The ocean is just the name and form which cannot exist independent of H2O. Whereas the H2O can exist independent of the ocean, the name and form, without being ocean also. Therefore, H2O is the Satta. Satta, Satyam, Sat, the truth, the reality, the existence of the ocean. Similarly, the Jagat is just the name of the whole innumerably countless, forms, the constitution of the innumerably countless names and forms. This Jagat is just the word, okay, which has no meaning minus one substance. Therefore, the existence of the reality is the existence of the Jagat. Therefore, reality is the very existence of the Jagat. The Satyam, the Satta of the Jagat is what? In fact, is available for recognition, okay, only in your mind, as the very existence of the mind. Existence of the Jagat is available for recognition as the very existence of the mind. Like what? H2O, the reality of the ocean, is the reality of the wave also. Isn't it? Not two different things. Similarly, reality of the Jagat is reality of your body, reality of your senses, reality of your pranas, reality of your thoughts, reality of your mind. And the reality of the mind, in fact, is again, we have to say, the reality of the universe is available for recognition as the reality of the mind means, it is available for recognition only as one given thought. What is that one thought? We say, I thought. Not even, I don't say I am also, just say I. What is this I? Look at this, what is this I? It is I, we say, the first person singular pronoun. When you talk it out, when you say, I sit here, I talk, I go, when you say I, it comes out as a sound, it is a word, isn't it? It comes out as a sound, it is a word. But for any word to get expressed, anything which expressed through the sound as a word, must have already existed in the form of a thought. A thought alone, that which is in the form of a thought alone, gets expressed through speech as the word. Enname sollaga vadividukkirathu. Understand now? Whatever is already, whatever you utter outside, gets expressed in the form of, through speech, through sound, in the form of words, is what? Already is there as the thought first. Therefore, when you say, I am sitting here, when you say, I, what is I? I is first the thought. And why do, so what Shastram tells you here, come on, you know this I, I thought. If you know the existence of the I thought, if you know the origin of the I thought, if you know the reality of the I thought, you know where this I thought comes into being from, where it exists and where it resolves, you have known the reality of all other thoughts. If you know the reality of all other thoughts, you have known the reality of the entire mind. If you know the reality of the entire mind, you know the reality of the entire individual. If you know the reality of the entire individual, you have known the reality of the entire cosmos. That's a secret. Why do we say here? Because all the thoughts which constitute the mind, all the thoughts which constitute the mind, are centered on this one I thought. If the I thought is not there, naan engindra ennam idikilen sonna, the I thought is not there, all other thoughts are not possible. All other thoughts cannot exist by themselves without the I thought. Therefore, all the other thoughts which constitute the mind are centered on one thought, I thought. Therefore, we can say the I thought is the dead end of the mind. without which no other thought is possible. Therefore, the reality of the whole jagat is the reality of the mind, and reality of the mind is available for recognition as the reality of one thought. Our Swamiji says beautifully, come and take this thought, take the wave and flatten it, squeeze it. What will come out is H2O. Understand? Niceness to say, isn't it? Swamiji says sometimes. That if you take the I thought and flatten it and squeeze it, what will come out will be what? The reality, the awareness. Understand now? So that means what? Hey, the thought, the I thought, where does it rise from? Where does it exist? Where does it, you know, resolve? If you see, that is the only way you can stumble upon the reality. As we, what this I thought is all about? What is I is? What is I thought is? A wave is H2O. The I is what? A thought. What is I thought is? Where does it come from? Where does it exist? Where does it resolve? If it is known, you have known the reality of the entire mind, thereby you have known the reality of the entire cosmos. That is why we have what now? We have to see this I is what? See, the I is, in fact, see, the knower, the reality is always, that's why we have drishya viveka prakriya. And the Shastram tells you the knack, trick. The reality of the jagat is never available for objectification. It is never available as an object of knowledge. Every object is reality. But reality as reality is not available for knowledge, recognition as an object of knowledge. It is available for recognition only as a subject of knowledge. And subject of knowledge is what? The knower. Object of knowledge is the known. And subject of knowledge, the knower, with reference to every individual, is nothing but I. The knower, the subject of knowledge, with reference to every individual, is I, is in the form of I. You have to go I. So if you know who the knower is, to know who the knower is, you have to know who, what this I is. If you know who, what this I is, you will stumble upon the knower. Then later on you can resolve the knower in the reality. Then I'll tell you how Ramana Maharshi himself is going to do it. That tomorrow we'll come across that part. So reality is available for recognition. So you understand this reality, this I thought, you know, is nothing but, actually I is nothing but a thought which is there in waking state. The I thought is there, all other thoughts are there, then it's called waking state. In deep sleep state, I thought is resolved. I thought is not there. The knowledge that I am is not there. And all other thoughts are also not there. No thought is there. What happened to all the thoughts? All the thoughts are resolved. There is only stillness of reality. Undisturbed reality. And but what is that reality? You cannot know. Reality is. But what that reality is, you do not know. And that is what Shastram says. The thoughts are not there. That is known. The thoughts being not there is known means there is a knower, the experiencer of the thoughts being not there. That knower of the state of mind is what actually, in fact, the reality. The knower is the reality. Like illuminator of these objects is the light. Really, the knower of the thoughts is what? Knower of the state of mind is the reality only. What is it, reality? We say pure awareness, pure consciousness, chaitanyam, shuddha chaitanyam. Then you see, oh, that means, can you say then, knower of the state of mind, thoughts being there is known, in waking state, thoughts being not there also is known. That means there's a knower in all three states of experience. There is experience in all three states of experience. The experiencer, the knower is one and the same. That knower, the experiencer is pure awareness, the pure consciousness. You say, like what? the knower, the illuminate of all these opaque objects is the light. When you say, can you say that there is light and illuminator, two things are there? Are there two things here? There is light, there is illuminator. A illuminator is a name given to the light from the standpoint of the illumined objects. Actually speaking, to illuminate the opaque objects, light need not do any action. Light is, things come to light, opaque objects come to light, opaque objects become illumined. That means what? Illumining is the nature of the light, swarupam of the light. Therefore, there is no illuminator other than the light, outside of the light, apart from the light. Why? If they take away the light, there is no illuminator. Therefore, what? Illuminator and the light are one and the same. They are not two different things. What is there is only the light. What is there is only the light. Thus, the light is objects come to light. And we say there is illuminator of all the objects. Who is the illuminator of all the objects? The light. If the light can, illuminator can be there without the light, then you can say illuminator is different, light is different. When the light is not there, there is no illuminator here. Illuminator is just the name given to the light. From the standpoint of the opaque objects which come to light in the presence of light. Therefore, what is illuminator? Illuminator is nothing but the light. Illuminator is equal to light. There is no illuminator without the light. Therefore, illumination is not an action on the part of the light, swarupam of the light, just being of the light. Is it clear now? This understanding is what? Resolving the illuminator in the light. Understand now? First you say, all the opaque objects come to light. Therefore what? There is illuminator of all the objects. And who is the illuminator of all the objects? The light is the illuminator of the illuminator of all the objects is the light. And illuminator and the light are not two different things. We use the word light, we also use the word illuminator. And you say they are not two different things. In fact, light is not the illuminator, but the illuminator is nothing but the light. Why? Because illumining is not an action on the part of the light, the very swarupam of the light. Just by being present, you know, but just by its presence, the light brings to light all the opaque objects. Light alone is looked upon as the illuminator from the standpoint of the illumined objects. There is no illuminator outside of light other than the light. Illuminator is none other than the light. When you say, they are not two different things. Is it clear now? Then you say, what is there is only the light alone is there. Light is the reality. Is it clear now? Similarly, Shastram says, you better know who the knower is. Reality is available for recognition. Listen to me carefully. Reality is available for recognition only as the subject of knowledge, not as an object of knowledge. Thereby you negate all the objects of knowledge as non-self. And reality, subject of knowledge alone is what is self. Subject of knowledge is the knower. Therefore, knower with reference to every individual is what? I, in fact, with reference to every individual is what? The knower, isn't it? Therefore, who this knower is? And you analyze the states of mind. All the three states of mind, you know, there is a deep sleep state, there is a waking state, there is a dream state. Every state of mind is experienced. Every state of mind is known. That means there is an experiencer, there is a knower in every state of mind. This knower, the experiencer of all three states of mind, in fact, is one and the same. Same knower, same experiencer. because of the presence of which, who, the all states of mind become known, become experienced. Who is this experiencer? Who is this knower? Okay, knower with reference to individual is I. So you have to understand where this I is, what this I is. Because in the deep sleep state, the I thought is now, I is nothing but the thought. The I is not there in deep sleep state. No other thoughts are in deep sleep state. Then what is there? Even the I thought also is not there. I also is object of knowledge. That means who the knower is then? The knower of the deep sleep state, then is the knower of the dream state. Knower of the deep dream state is the knower of the waking state. That knower of the three states of experience is in fact nothing but pure consciousness, pure awareness, pure knowledge. That means what? Knower and pure knowledge are not two different things. Knower and pure consciousness are not two different things. Knower and pure awareness are not two different things. Like what? Illuminator and light are not two different things. Similarly, knower and pure consciousness are not two different things. The pure consciousness alone is looked upon as the knower from the standpoint of the known states of mind. Why? If the consciousness is not there, there will not be knower. Understand? Therefore what? Consciousness is not the knower because knowing is not an action. It is the very swarupam. But who this knower is then? Knower is none other than consciousness. When you say there is no other knower other than consciousness, when you say you have resolved the knower in consciousness, the pure knowledge. Understand now? What is pure knowledge? First you understand, and this pure consciousness, you recognize now, yes, this pure consciousness has no beginning, no end, doesn't undergo any change, is not dependent on the thoughts or the states of mind or any object for its existence, whereas nothing can exist independent of this pure consciousness. You understand that? Then is Swarupam. Now you will see how to understand Swarupam also. Then you focus attention of the mind on this pure knowledge. In what form is the reality? Reality, when you say, reality is available for recognition, as the knower means, knower is pure consciousness. In reality is what? Reality has to be understood in terms of its swarupam. This I repeated 1008 times in our class. Reality has to be understood in terms of its swarupam. What is the form of the reality? In what form do you recognize the reality? Tell me. As pure knowledge. Arive Devam. Understand now? Arive Devam na. Arive Paramparul. Pure knowledge is the reality. The pure consciousness is the reality. Pure awareness is the reality. Understand now? Therefore, knowing the swarupam of the reality means knowing the very reality. Because reality itself understood in terms of its swarupam. Then you focus the attention of the mind on this reality, on swarupam of the reality. Now tell me, when you having understood the nature of the reality, having recognized this rupam, having recognized the reality being pure awareness as the truth of the I thought, as the truth of all the thoughts, when you focus attention of the mind on reality, now what is the distance between the mind, the thought, and the reality? Tell me. What is focused on is the reality. Understand now? The attention of the mind is focusing on what? Its own swarupam. Is it clear now? There is no distance. There's no distance between the meditator and the meditated. There's no difference between the meditated and the meditator. This is Abheda Bhavana. There's no distance. That's why contemplation implies one having recognized the Surupam of the Atma, Surupam of the reality. One having recognized the very reality in terms of its Surupam as pure knowledge, as the existence of the mind, as the truth of the I-thought. There's no distance between mind and reality. Like there's no distance between H2 on the wave. There's no distance, there's no difference also. Because thought is, everything is that. And this you Swarupam of, there's so many words which reveal Swarupam of the Atma, like Nityaha, Shuddha, Buddha, etc. When you see the meaning of every word, your attention of the mind is focused on the very nature, very real reality. This is Abheda Bhavana, and this is what is contemplation. This Abheda Bhavana is Pavani, more sacred. Why? Because this alone will help in removing the doubts about the self, in ascertaining the nature of the self, ascertaining the nature of the reality. Because all the doubts you have about the doubt, this contemplation will do two things. You know that already you would have got your doubts resolved, but still if at all any small doubt is there, it will resolve all your doubts. It will help you ascertain, help you have the avadharanam, of the vastu. Ascertain vision of the reality. And which is in fact ascertain vision of the fullness, happiness, which is moksha. Therefore it is this called swaswarupa anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means, dhanam means placing, sandhanam means placing well, perfectly well. Anusandhanam means constantly, continuously, uninterruptedly focus attention of the mind on the very where swaswarupa, one's own swarupam. Swaswarupa anusandhanam. When you focus, then that results in what? Then that results in ascertained vision of the reality, which is mokshaha. Therefore, contemplation alone, knowledge of the self is very important. Through shravanam and mananam, you have the knowledge of the self. Shravanam and mananam are very important. Simply if you ask the question, who am I, who am I, who am I, you will never get an answer. It has to be unfolded, isn't it? The shravanam will help you understand through drik, drishya, viveka, prakriya, avasthatraya, prakriya, and karyakarana, prakriya. Through all these prakriyas, you understand what the self is, what the non-self is, what the self is not, what the self is. Now, how the self is available for recognition as the knower, subject of knowledge. The knower is none other than the pure knowledge, because knower is nothing but the knowledge, the reality. You arrive at it, you stumble upon this truth. This is the only way you can stumble upon the truth. Then you recognize the truth, then you can focus attention on the nature of the truth. Understand? This is contemplation, and this contemplation will help in having ascertained vision, which is moksha. Meditation. There is difference between the meditator and the meditated. It is not the swarupam at all. In meditation, in contemplations, very swarupam, very reality is the object of meditation, which is happens to subject of meditation, isn't it? There is no difference. Subject itself is object of meditation, whereas in meditation, the something is object. It is different from not the swarupam. Something which stands for the swarupam. Understand now? That is why it will help. It meditation will result only in mental steadiness. It will not take you any more distance. How many ever years, how much ever you practice meditation, it will result in mental steadiness. It will result in calmness and all that. But it will never bless you with enlightenment. You should know the limitation. You should know the value of meditation. At the same time, you should know the limitation of meditation also. What meditation can do, what it cannot do. So meditation, if it assists you with the steadiness of mind, and thereby, if you know already, if you recognize the Swarupam, then it will help you to focus your attention on the nature of the reality. Meditation, result of meditation will help you what? Have a contemplative disposition. You can focus attention of the mind on the reality. But contemplation alone will bless you with moksha. Okay? That is what abheda bhavana is pavani. Then what? Bheda bhavanat. What is abheda bhavana? Saha aham. That reality is in fact what I am, that reality. Like wave is H2O. I, the self, am in the pure awareness. I is awareness. I, the self, am the awareness. So I am that Lord, the reality which is manifest as the whole. This abheda, saha ahamiti, abheda bhavana pavani. Now he says, look at this. Bhavashunyasad bhavasusthitihi. Bhavashunyasad bhavasusthitihi. Bhavanabalad bhaktiruttama. Bhavanabalad bhaktiruttama. Bhavashunyasad bhavasusthitihi. Bhavashunyasad bhavasusthitihi. Bhavana balad bhaktiruttama. Bhavana balad bhaktiruttama. He says, Bhagavan is saying here, uttama bhaktihi. What is the best of the devotion? Now, what is the best form of devotion? What is uttama bhaktihi? Sreshta bhaktihi. What is the greatest of devotion? Uttama bhaktihi. Now what he says? Bhavana balat bhaktir uttama. Bhava shunya sadbhava susthitihi is uttama bhaktihi. Bhava shunya sadbhava susthitihi means what? Bhava shunya sadbhava susthitihi. Bhava shunya sadbhava susthitihi means, look at this. When you focus attention of the mind on the nature of the reality, recognized as the self, okay? How do you recognize the reality of the whole jagat? Existence satta of the whole jagat, look at this. The existence of the whole jagat, the reality of the whole jagat is available for recognition only as the what? Only in your mind. As what? As the content of the I thought. As the truth of the mind. And how do you recognize it? The reality is available for recognition as the subject of knowledge, as the knower. When you say knower means what? The knower is resolved in what? Then the pure knowledge. What is pure knowledge? The chit. The pure awareness, this is nothing but the pure chit. So the pure chit, the pure consciousness alone, Chaitanyam alone is what? The Sat of the reality, existence. Sat of the Jagat. You recognize this. Therefore, and then you focus attention of the mind on the reality, then what happens? The more attention is focused on the reality means all other thoughts will be resolved in that. Bhava shunya sadbhava susthitihi. When the attention remains focused on the attention, on the absorbed in the nature of the reality. When you focus attention only on the nature of the reality, naturally the attention abides and that remains absorbed in the reality. When the attention remains absorbed in the reality, what happens? All other thoughts also will resolve. How do you resolve all other thoughts? Bhava shunya means what? No other thought rises. No thought will rise. all the thoughts will resolve. Bhava shunya sadbhava susthitihi. Susthiti, sthitihi means abiding, remaining, you know, remaining absorbed. Where? Sadbhava susthitihi. Attention remains abiding in the reality and all other thoughts resolve naturally. Then what you see? You have the ascertained vision of the reality. You understand the consciousness is the only reality. The consciousness is one indivisible, partless whole. You cannot divide consciousness. How you cannot divide the space? Space is indivisible. Similarly, the pure awareness is indivisible. One indivisible, partless whole. In awareness alone, all the known objects exist. Understand, nothing exists outside of the awareness. So this is sadbhava susthitihi. You see, everything is that. In fact, what is there is only that reality. That means what? Sadbhava susthitihi. When the mind abides, remains absorbed in that awareness, through contemplation, bhavana balat. Bhavana balat means what? Abheda bhavana balat. By this, no, you have the strength of contemplation blesses you with the strength. Contemplation helps you. Helps you what? To have what? To remain absorbed. To remain, to abide in awareness. To remain absorbed in awareness, the reality. The more you focus contemplation and contemplation, it results in abiding in awareness. It helps you to remain absorbed in awareness. Then what? No other thoughts will be there. That means what? You understand the reality of all the thoughts, the entire mind is nothing but awareness. And you understand the whole, everything is awareness. And what? All the whole known jagat is mithya. Awareness alone is satyam. And then satyam, hatyam, atma, satya, atma, which is Brahman, is not the mithya jagat. Mithya jagat is nothing but satya atma. Sadbhava susthitihi. You see, what is there is only the reality. Even though the jagat you see, awareness you see, as though two different things, it looks, really speaking, it has no independent existence. Like names and forms, the name and form ocean has no independent existence minus water. Similarly, the jagat, all the names and forms, all the gross and subtle forms have no existence outside of awareness. No independent existence. Therefore, they cannot be counted as a second thing. When you see the water and ocean, you say, what is there? Water is there. What else is there? Ocean. Therefore, can you say water is one, ocean is two? Number two, can you say, you cannot count the ocean as a second thing. Look at this. You cannot count the ocean as a second thing. Why? It has no countability. Not only ocean, I can also count the waves. That means what? You cannot count the waves. You cannot count the ocean as a second thing. Because it has no countability. For the ocean and the waves to have the countability, it should have an independent existence. Okay, if we take away the water, after taking away the water, still the ocean and waves can continue to exist, then you can say it, what? It's a second thing. Is it clear now? Then you can say it has countability. Take away the water means waves will disappear, ocean will disappear, it has no independent existence, therefore it cannot be counted as a second thing. There is no countability. Therefore what? It has no independent existence, therefore there is no second thing other than the water. Ocean is water. Water alone is there in the form of the ocean. What is there is only water. The only reality with reference to ocean is water, H2O. Similarly, Chaitanyam Brahma, which is recognized as the Atma, as the knower, as the self, as the content of the I thought. That reality is what? consciousness. Apart from that, Jagat means what? The whole, everything and anything which is known is in the realm of the Jagat, which is inclusive of the I thought. Jagat means what? All the thoughts are Jagat only. The I thought also is what? I is also Jagat. Am is also Jagat. I am is Jagat. All the thoughts are Jagat. The sense powers are Jagat. Powers of organs of actions are Jagat. The pranas are Jagat. The physical body is Jagat. And anything except the physical body, subtle and gross, is Jagat. Living and non-living is Jagat. Everything is Jagat. Why everything is Jagat? Everything is within the realm of the world of objects of knowledge. Objects of knowledge constitute what? Whole Jagat is object of knowledge. Pure awareness plus Jagat. It's like what? Pure H2O plus ocean. Name and form. Understand now? So minus, you can't say awareness is Satyam, Jagat is Mithya. Why can't we say the two things? Awareness is different from Jagat, Jagat is different from awareness. Awareness is not the Jagat, like H2O is not the ocean, but the ocean is nothing but H2O. Jagat is nothing but Brahman. But Brahman, the reality is not Jagat. Why? Because you can't say Jagat is second thing. The things which exist as part and parcel of Jagat do not have any countability. Minus awareness, Jagat cannot exist by itself independently. Understand now? Therefore what? It has no independent existence. Jagat is Brahma. Therefore, it has no countability. There is no second thing other than Brahman. Brahman is the only reality, not one reality. Brahman alone is there as the Jagat, in the form of the Jagat. Jagat is Brahman, but Brahman is not the Jagat. Brahman alone is there in the form of Jagat. Reality, Atma alone is in the form of the universe. Therefore, what? The Jagat is Mithya. Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya, Atma Satyam, Anatma Mithya. Mithya is nothing but Satyam. Satyam is not Mithya. So what is there is only reality, a secondless reality. There is no second thing, second vastu which enjoys its own existence apart from awareness. Please understand this. It's what non-duality. Understand now, there is nothing. There is nothing other than awareness which has its own independent existence. Therefore what? If an object exists by itself without depending upon awareness, like you can call it a second vastu. It can count it as a second object. Second thing. Understand now? Second reality. It has the countability, only that it has the countability. There is no countability. I say, 1, 2, 3. Our Swamiji always shows a clay pot and says, clay is Satyam, pot is Mithya. No, Swamiji, clay is one reality and pot is second thing. If you say pot is second thing, a third clay is in your head, Swamiji says. The third thing which is in your third reality, which is in clay in your buddhi, he says. That means what? A pot has no countability because pot is nama rupa, it has no independent existence. Your pot is clay. Therefore, what? What is there is only reality. Not only reality, you should say. There is a second thing other than the reality which has independent existence. Therefore, there is no second thing which has countability. Therefore, what? There is a second reality. Therefore, what? Reality is non-dual. And reality is non-dual means what? Secondless. That is why Advaitam. We don't say one. Advaitam. Ekam we don't say. You know, Ekam sort of we say. Advaitam means what? Non-duality. Non-dual is the reality. Therefore, sadbhava susthitihi. Susthitihi means what? The mind remains absorbed, the mind abides in the vision of the non-dual, non-duality of the reality, the existence of the universe. Understand? How? Bhavana Balat. Understand now? Bhavana Balat. No, with the help of help, no, that which helps you, that which gives you strength. How does the mind remain absorbed in the vision of the non-duality of the reality? How does, the mind abides in the vision of the non-duality of the reality, oneness of reality? By contemplation. With the help of contemplation, the strength of contemplation, bhavana balat, the mind can remain absorbed in this vision of the non-duality of reality. Sadbhava susthitihi. Irandatta ondreyagiya paramparulil manam nilaithirukkirathu. Eppadina? Through this contemplation. Understand now? Sadbhava susthitihi. Sadbhave susthitihi. It remains absorbed. I tell you, having this vision, understand now, is purely cognitive. You don't talk about it. You do not explain it. You understand and you ascertain and you remain absorbed. Understand, contemplate, ascertain, and you abide in that vision. Abiding means doesn't mean sitting like this. People think, oh, if having the vision of non-dual reality means the mind abiding in the vision of non-duality of the reality, or remaining absorbed in the vision of the non-duality of reality means, doesn't mean sitting like this. You walk around, you move around, you do everything till you are so clear that in your mind nothing can shake your vision of the non-duality of the reality. Say you walk around on the beach so many times, you run, you jog, you eat, also the snacks sold there, everything you do, but you're 100% you're very clear. The whole ocean, icy ocean, the ocean full of waves is nothing but only one vastu called H2O. Isn't it? This is what sadbhava susthitihi. Is it clear now? Sadbhava susthitihi. Sadbhave susthitihi. Being firm in your understanding. Susthitihi. Being, abiding in the vision of the non-duality of the reality. In your mind, very clear. Whole jagat is nothing but Brahman. All that is there is non-dual reality. This vision is what? Uttama bhaktihi. There is no devotion greater than remaining in, the mind abiding in the vision of the non-duality of reality. Understand now? Irandatra ondreyagiya paramparulil manam nilaikka perudalai kaattilum. And the buddhi, there is no devotion. Adai kaattilum periya bhakti kadaiyadanta Ramana Maharishi. There is no greater devotion. What is the height of devotion? What is the culmination of devotion? What is the zenith of devotion? How long can you climb? How much can you climb? What is the peak that you have to reach? What is the peak you have to reach? One point you have to stop, no? So what is the culmination of bhakti, devotion? What is the highest of devotion? Having this vision. Mind abiding, mind having firm, unshakable, firm, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the non-duality of the reality. Mind abiding in this vision of non-duality of reality. Susthitihi. Kutra sadbhave. Sadbhava susthitihi. How do you get this vision? Bhavana balat. Through the strength of contemplation. With the help of contemplation. Through contemplation, by being in contemplation, remaining in contemplation, you will end up what? Having this ascertained vision of, you will end up having this mind abiding in the vision of non-dual reality, which is the uttama bhaktihi. There is no greater devotion than abiding in the vision of, absorbed in the vision of non-duality of reality. Therefore, but here lots of doubts will come here for us. He is going to answer all of our questions. Because we have Swaminiji, we talked about, we have an important thing confusing our minds. What is that? Samadhi. We are all interested in samadhi. Everybody wants a samadhi experience. Ramana Maharshi is going to say, come on, no, please understand what samadhi is all about. Remain quiet. He is going to say that. Because people are all interested in samadhi in chakra meditation. And the very name is very attractive. Chakra, chakra, chakra. Chakra meditation and something goes up and something comes up, comes down. You are all interested. So what he is saying, whatever goes up, whatever comes down, it's all experienced, isn't it? Experience is experience. Any experience is time bound. That what is the substratum of the experience because of which experience is possible, that is the reality. That is what this mind has to recognize and dwell upon and then remain absorbed. Isn't it? That is the problem here. Everybody is interested in some experience. And the Shastra negates experience. Any experience you want to have, and I have that experience, I have this experience, some blue light comes, red light comes, and then something crawls on my back, and then all people come and tell us all experiences. You know, and people read some books, some autobiography of some people. They have their own experiences. So they write an autobiography. They can't write a biography of you. Because they have their own biography. Because they write all their experiences. So what? Let anybody can have any experience. See, your own dream is your biography. Understand now? Your dream is your experience. It is not unreal. It is not something which is, it doesn't exist at all. Nor is it real. Why? It is not real. It is not my experience. Understand now? See, any experience cannot be accepted as real, nor can be, proved as unreal. So what? It is some experience. It's a mithya. See, everyone writes one's own dreams, they're all big biography. Oh my God, amazing. Rucha's experience of the dream, amazing. I read her dream. You know, all fairy world, you know, all tales of fairy tales, like beautiful descriptive stories she writes. And oh my God, I adore. Because the more people, the more they are very beautiful, they have excellent, the strength, the people who can communicate and they present their dreams very beautifully can be the best sellers. Know that? How you present your experiences? All mystic, something which you can't even imagine. That also get right. People read those books and mistake those experiences for spirituality. I tell you, any experience is possible. See, anybody can write books. You can read the books also. By reading the others' experiences, you can understand these experiences are possible. That's all. But those, by understanding any experience being possible, okay, you're not going to solve your problem. What is there for you? What are you going to gain by reading others' experiences? Where is your moksha? Where is your freedom? In what way it's going to solve your problems, your day-to-day emotional problems, your fear? People are crazy. Everywhere people talk about this. Experiences. And I say, no. They think they're talking about that book itself is something very great. It's a concept, some sort of, you read that book. Means when you mention the name of that book, itself people think you have to be considered somewhat, you are informed of spirituality. You are not a novice about spirituality. They think that way. Understand now? So here, see, contemplation, bhavana is here, abheda bhavana, balat, balena, with the strength of contemplation. Now, contemplation is the only means. Through the means, balam here is a means. Balam means is said to be balam, strength here. Like money is balam, strength, means for buying things. If you have money, you can buy things. The money means the buying power is what? Strength, buying power. Like by contemplation is what? Recognizing power, ascertaining power. Understand now? The power to ascertain, the means to ascertain the reality. So bhavana balat, through this contemplation, by contemplation, you know, by focusing attention constantly, continuously on the very reality, then you can see that all the thoughts will be resolved in the reality. You have the ascertained vision of the non-duality of reality. You can resolve Jagat as Mithya there, because Jagat is all the known Jagat. All the thoughts, everything is what? The known means all the world of objects, the entire Jagat, which is inclusive of your mind, which is inclusive of the I thought also, is what? Has no countability. As a second thing. Why has no countability? No independent existence. So what? You have to, it's also an order of reality. You call it Mithya. So what is Mithya? Nothing but Satyam. What is Satyam? The only non-dual reality. Understand? This becomes very clear in your buddhi. Therefore, that is what is uttama bhakti. That is the culmination of bhakti. All your devotion will culminate in that vision. And afterwards what? That's all. after that vision, what is this? What else is there? Nothing.
Hrithale mana swasthata kriya. Hrithale mana swasthata kriya. Bhakti yoga bodhascha nischitam. Bhakti yoga bodhascha nischitam. Hrithale mana swasthata kriya. Hrithale mana swasthata kriya. Bhakti yoga bodhascha nischitam.
Bhakti yoga bodhascha
nischitam. Nischitam. Nischitam means what? It is firmly, assertively confirmed. Firmly, assertively, doubtlessly confirmed view. What is this here? Nischitam. What is this? Kriyaha. All the actions, bhaktihi, your devotion, or yogaha, bhakti yogaha, or karma yogaha, living a life of karma yoga, bodhaha, knowledge, all of them ultimately culminate in one thing, vision of the non-duality of the reality, which we have seen in the previous verse, isn't it? How the mind can remain absorbed, abide in the vision of the non-duality of the reality, oneness of reality through contemplation, isn't it? Ultimately, what are these actions for? Kriyaha. All forms of actions ultimately for what? Discovering this. Yoga is for what? What is karma yoga for? Ultimately for this vision. What is bhaktihi for? Ultimately for this vision. What is knowledge for? Now what knowledge is all about? Ultimately for this vision. Therefore, bhaktihi, yogaha, bodhaha and kriyaha, all of them ultimately culminate in what? In having this ascertained vision of the non-duality of the reality. This is definite. This is the definite view, vision of the Shruti. Nischitam. Very simple, he says here. But what is that? He says, the mind abiding in the, look at this, mind abiding in the nature of the reality, the mind abiding in the vision of the non-duality of reality. Irandatra unrahave ulla parambarulil manam odunga perudal. Manam nilaika perudal. What is that? Now, the mind having the vision of non-duality of the reality means what? He says, hrithkale manaha swasthata.
Hritstale manaha swasthata. You know what is Hritstalam? Hritstalam. Hritstalam means the core. Hrit literally means heart. When you say heart of England is London, heart means what? Doesn't mean heart, okay? You know that heart. So heart of the wave is H2O. Heart of the wave is H2O. Why? Center, we say that. The truth, the reality, the heart of that is what? Hritsthalam, the core person of the all the personalities. Understand now? The core person, Hritsthalam. H2O is the Hritsthalam of the wave, Hritsthalam of the ocean, Hritsthalam of all the waves.
It's the essence, isn't it?
Huh?
The essence.
Yeah. Hritsthalam. Similarly, the Hritsthalam, we can say, the core of everything is what? We can say, I. What is this I? Content of this I is what? The reality. What is reality? Existence, pure existence. What is the pure existence? The pure chit, the pure consciousness. Pure existence is available for recognition only as pure knowledge. You understand pure knowledge, thereafter you understand pure knowledge is the pure existence. Chit is sat. Sat is available for recognition only as chit. Recognize chit, then you understand chit is the sat. Understand? First you know H2O. H2O is the existence of the ocean. Similarly, you say here, chit, the pure consciousness, is the reality. That is what? Sat, the existence of everything. Understand? And how do you understand? As the content of I thought. Hritsthale. When you recognize the existence of the whole jagat, look at this, existence of the whole jagat as the pure consciousness, as pure consciousness, the chit, as in Hritsthalam, in the mind, as the very content of the I thought. Where do you recognize? In the mind. As what? As the very content of the I thought. Hritsthale, when you recognize, then that is recognizing the swarupam of the swarupam of the reality, swarupam of the entire universe. The reality of the entire universe, you know, thereby mind recognizing it as its own swarupam is what? Swasthata is the absolute health. You know that? Very interesting thing, you know, to know that. Sthanam, look at this. Sthanam means place, abode, location, locus, sthanam. See, sthanam of wave is H2O. Sthanam of ocean is H2O. Sthanam means what? The place, the abode, the locus, location. Where is the wave located? Where does the wave, what is the locus of the wave? Where does the wave exist? In H2O. Sthanam. So, no, swasthanam means what? Own place. Understand now? Own abode. Own, that's why home. At home. Understand now? Being at home means what? Swasthanam is being at home. Understand now? Being at home is when the wave recognizes its swarupam being H2O and it says, I, the wave, am H2O when it says, understand now? Therefore, H2O is the truth of the entire ocean and I am that truth of the entire ocean and the wave recognizes it is. It has its swasthanam. Swasthanam is a locus actually, abode. So in the mind, this mind, and which is always searching and searching and searching and searching and searching, is always dissatisfied. It's searching for something. Always restless, searching for something, something for something, something. And then it is, there's no contentment, there's no satisfaction. Even though we're always taught by the so-called modern Vedantins come and teach us also, be contented, look down upon people who are inferior to you and be contented, be satisfied. I try to do that also, but still sometimes it's okay, sometimes still we are not content or satisfied. It's all doesn't, it's all no cheating myself. Really speaking, nothing helps me to feel content and satisfied. So always there's search. Abba, search comes to an end. When does the search comes to an end? When you are at home. What does it mean by saying being at home? When the mind recognizes its own existence, its own swarupam, its own reality. Which is the reality of the whole jagat. The mind recognizes the reality of the whole jagat as its own reality, as the very content of the I thought. Understand now? Recognize its own swarupam and constantly contemplates upon the nature of that nature, swarupam, the reality. And through, by contemplation, through with the help of the means of contemplation, the mind abides in the vision of that ascertained vision of the non-duality of the reality. That's what is what? Swastata. Okay? Mind remaining at home. Hritsthale manaha swastata. So the mind recognizing the reality of the whole jagat, the core of the whole jagat, in its own mind, hritsthale, in its own, as its own existence, as its own reality, as the very content of I, thereby contemplating upon that swarupam and having ascertained vision of that, remaining abiding, absorbed in that vision of that non-duality of the reality, is what mind remaining at home. Understand now? That mind remaining at home is what? Mind being perfectly healthy. And that mind being perfectly healthy, mind remaining at home, having remained absorbed in the vision of the non-duality of the reality through contemplation, is what? Its own mind is in fact the culmination of bhakti, culmination of yoga, culmination of revealing of karma yoga, culmination of knowledge, culmination of what? All forms of activities. Ittana kutum edukna unnuk. For all these are for what? Ultimately to recognize this, to have this vision. You know, being at home is being strong. Being strong means being limitless. Being happy. Being full. Reveling in fullness. Being free. Being at home means being free. When you're at home, you're safe, you're not cold. And so you don't feel cold, you're warm, you're comfortable, you're at home. And outside, when you're outside, you're not comfortable. You're suffering, you have to suffer the chillness, the chill weather. No, in Puranas we have a nice story. You know, the snake and the eagle, they are enemies. And the eagle is very proud because it is a vehicle for Mahavishnu. And the snake is very proud because the snake is an ornament for Lord Shiva. And the snake and Vedna, both are away from Bhagavan. And the eagle will fly very graceful, elegant, is of elegant flight. And it will see from there, from distance, it will see the snake crawling. The snake, when it senses the danger, oh, eagle is flying, it even senses the flight of the eagle somewhere, immediately it gets frightened. it will go and search for the anthill, nowhere to go and hide. So the eagle cannot go and hit it. So they search for the anthill, go and hide. She is so frightened of this eagle, the snake. Why? It is not in its own place. It's somewhere on the road, away. And the same snake, when it is sitting as an ornament of Lord Shiva, and remaining there as the ornament of Lord Shiva, the snake which is used to be so scared of this eagle, with all boldness, calls the eagle, "Hello eagle, hello Mr. Eagle, how are you?" And the eagle says, "If you are where you have to be, you can ask anything." This is a Tamil part. Paramashivan kazhuthil irundha paambu kettathu garuda saukyama. It asks the snake, remaining in Karana, Shiva's heart, the snake, it's there as the ornament of Lord Shiva. It's asking, "Hello Garuda, how are you?" And Garudan says, "Because you are where you have to be, now you can ask anything. Yarum irukkum idathil irundhu vittal ellam saukhyame. Now you have this guts, how do you ask?" Shiva stands for fullness, awareness. This snake stands for mind. The mind abides its own existence. Manam tannirupil irukkirappo, it can say, it's so bold. Understand now? It's at home. No fear. Very interesting thing, isn't it? Tamil, very beautiful thing. It's in some movie they made it also, very simple language like this. Paramashivan kazhuthirundha paambu kettathu garuda saukhyama. How are you? And the garden, the eagle replies, yarum irukkum idathil irundhu vittal ellam saukhyamena. Where is saukhyam? Where is saukhyam? Saukhyam is luxury. Saukhyam means luxury. Sukham is happiness, we say. Saukhyam is luxury. Where is saukhyam? There is no luxury outside of awareness. Okay? Being the self, just being what you are, is luxury. Being what you are is luxury. Reveling in fullness is luxury. Reveling in the knowledge of non-duality of reality is what? Luxury. There's no greater luxury than reveling in knowledge of vision of the reality. So, swasthata. So, in fact, what is health? You know that? Being healthy means being one's own self. Being healthy means being one's own self. Being one's own self means what? Knowing what the self is. Knowing what the self means, seeing the non-duality of the reality. Having the vision of, abiding in the vision of non-duality of the reality means what? Not seeing a second thing other than the reality. And having resolved the whole jagat as mithya in reality. Swasthata kriya. Therefore, mind abiding in the vision of the non-duality of the reality through this contemplation, through the means of contemplation, is the culmination of all this. Kriyaha, bhaktiyo, bhaktihi, yogaha, knowledge, everything. This is, this is a fact, viewed. It's a fact assertively confirmed by the Shruti. So, in fact, just the attitudinal change, the cognitive change. The vision is the happiness and pain, the pleasure and pain, the happiness, the bondage and freedom. Freedom is fullness, limitation is bondage. It's just the cognitive change. What is the cognitive change? The the I sense is placed on non-self. Limitations, bondage, pain. Time-bound pleasures and pains. The I sense is shifted from the non-self. I is shifted. Then I is not placed, resolved in reality. I sense from the body, mind is complex, the non-self, shifted and resolved in reality is what? Just for cognitive change. Fullness at home. The I sense is a non-self. You are outside. You are outside of home. I sense is resolved in, shifted from non-self and resolved in reality, you are at home. Being at home is being healthy. Being normally normal. This is the culmination. Now, having talked about all these things, he says how the mind abiding in the vision of the non-duality of the reality means just having understanding. And for that, mind has to be what? Really, mind has to have the contemplative disposition. And for which, the mind has to be really, thoughts have to be managed. And mind has to be really, mind for the agitated, restless, disturbed mind, it has to become calm and quiet first. The recognition is possible, but the agitated, restless mind has to become calm and quiet mind. See, absolute mind will be absolutely quiet only in knowledge, only when it abides in the vision of the non-duality of the reality. But till then, mind has to be relatively quiet. How can you make the disturbed mind relatively a quiet, serene, tranquil mind? We have certain some techniques. Again, he's talking about it. Then here he talks about the pranayama is one of the techniques used now to quieten the mind, to make the mind calm. Okay, he talks about the pranayama. Why? Because pranayama, of course, is also, it helps you to have the good physical health also. Pranayama helps you to have good physical health also. And it also disciplines your pranas. And it also helps you to calm the mind. It's a big ocean. Pranayama is again a big, lots of parts are there. And very few things are taught by some so-called people who are teaching pranayama. Very, very few techniques are taught. And every pranayama exercise is not meant for everybody. Depending upon the physical constitution, the illness and the age and the sex, depends upon that, the exercises have to be taught. They have to be taught by a proper teacher, qualified teacher who knows correctly. See, what is not suitable for my system, I should not learn. How do you know that suitable for you or not? That's what the teacher should be able to tell you, if you tell your problems. That is why pranayama is not for everything, is not all the exercises are not for all the people, some for some people, which they have to learn with the proper teacher, they have to practice. What pranayama can do? No moksha, no jnanam. It can help you quieten the mind, calm the mind. And there is a connection between the frequency of thoughts and the pranas, the time taken for inhalation, exhalation, the pranas and mind, attention of the mind, their connection is there. The pranayama means, it's because the pranas are something which are involuntary, no? The inhalation, exhalation, the respiration is an involuntary function. You don't even know. It happens by itself. You don't even notice it. But when you focus your attention on the prana, and then pranayama means exercise. Pranaha means, you know, the breath. So the breathing exercise, exercising the breath is what? Pranayama. Prananam pranasya ayamaha. And to do this, actually, your attention has to be held. Attention is held by your prana. Unless you focus attention of the mind on the prana, that is why prana, instead, like in japa, mantra holds your attention. The object of meditation is your, in manasam japaha, object of meditation is mantra. And mantra or nama, or Bhagavan form. And here in pranayama, object of meditation is very prana. Attention of the mind is focused on prana. Only then pranayama can be done properly. The attention is completely held by prana. Whenever in prana you do pranayama, attention being held by the prana, attention is not available for any other object. That is why it is as good as meditation also. It quite calms the mind. The more the attention of the mind is held by one object, the less the attention of the mind becomes scattered. The less the attention of the mind becomes scattered, the less number of thoughts will be there. The less the number of thoughts being there, we can say the frequency being not there, the mind also is calm. In keeping with the frequency of the thoughts, the pressure of the blood also is what? Will be there. That is why pranayama helps the person to avoid, to control the blood pressure also. So those people always say, people always say meditation helps control blood pressure. Pranayama helps to control blood pressure. Means what? Blood pressure is controlled means, and heart also is taken care of. That is why people say all heart patients practice pranayama meditation. All people who have blood pressure, they have practice meditation pranayama, because it helps to some extent. It won't help totally. You can't avoid prarabdha. But still, it helps. So why? Because it's a connection. And he says, this mind is so restless and agitated and so scattered. Such a restless, agitated mind can be kept in check. How? Can be managed. Can be made calm. And relatively can be made serene and calm. By practicing pranayama. The practice of pranayama. So Ramana Maharshi says here, Vayurodhana liyate manaha. Vayurodhana liyate manaha. Jalapakshivadrodhasadhanam. Jalapakshivadrodhasadhanam. Vayurodhana liyate manaha. Vayurodhana liyate manaha. Jalapakshivadrodhasadhanam. Jalapakshivadrodhasadhanam. He says, Vayurodhanat manaha liyate. Manaha liyate means what? Mind becomes resolved. Mind becomes resolved means what? The more number of thoughts become resolved, therefore the mind becomes calm and serene and tranquil. Relatively, it becomes calm and quiet. Mind becomes free from agitations. Mind becomes free from little restlessness. The restless, agitated mind becomes calm and serene. What manaha liyate means what? Manam odungukirudhu sonna, manam amediyagirudhu. Mind becomes calm. How? Vayu rodhanat. Rodhanam means what? Obstructing. Vayu rodhanam means what? Vayoho rodhanat. By obstructing the flow of breath, mind becomes quiet. That means what? If you obstruct the flow of the breath, what will happen? You will die, isn't it? It doesn't mean obstructing the flow of breath continuously. Literally, it means obstructing the flow of breath means what? By observing. When you observation, and so now, when you observe the flow of prana, breath, inhalation and exhalation, there will be attention of your mind being held by the flow of prana, then the mind becomes calm. The attention of the mind is not scattered. See, mind, atesha, the mind is scattered. It thinks of too many things. It becomes restless and agitated. Mind becomes calm if attention of the mind is not scattered. For the mind not to be scattered, it has to be held by one thing. What is which holds attention of the mind here? Pranas. How? You're observing. When you observe the flow of prana, mind, see, attention of the mind being focused on prana is what? Obstructing the flow of prana. Well, obstructing actually. And mind becomes calm. So, vayu rodhanat manaha liyate. There are so many techniques. How to, you know, this, do this breathing exercise. There's a proper, the techniques are there. And the basic fundamental technique, I can tell you. Very simple. Because you slowly inhale consciously. And you, that means you're aware. See, when you are not observing prana, also you are inhaling. But when you consciously inhale, what happens? Attention is held by the prana. Prana is the object of your meditation. Take your own time, take as long as possible, and then inhale. And then after inhaling, the inhalation is called what? Purakam. Why? Purakam is what? Filling. Purayati. Oxygen gachati antaha lungs purayati. Oxygen fills the lungs. That's why it's called inhalation is called purakam, filling. Once lungs are filled with oxygen, then you hold the breath. No exhalation immediately. That holding the breath, having filled the lungs with oxygen, is called what? Kumbhakam. And how long can you hold a breath? You can't hold for a long time. That's what is vayu rodhanam. Okay? Hold the breath. And after that, again when slowly you start exhaling. When you start exhaling, carbon dioxide comes out. Then the lungs become what? Become, no? Empty. So emptying your lungs is what? Making your this lungs vacant is what? It's called rechakam. Ritti karanam. Ritta means empty actually. Mind, lungs become what now? It's the carbon dioxide has come out. So it is rechakam. After rechakam, after exhaling the carbon dioxide, again you hold a breath. Again the vayu is what? Vayu rodhanam. Vayu is obstructed. Pranas are obstructed. The breathing is obstructed for fraction of a second. Again, bahih kumbhakam. First antah kumbhakam, then bahih kumbhakam. Bahih kumbhakam means holding the breath after exhalation. Antah kumbhakam after inhalation, holding the breath. It like that? Purakam, kumbhakam, rechakam, kumbhakam, purakam, kumbhakam, rechakam, kumbhakam. This you have to practice. We'll do separately. We'll do afterwards. I'll teach you in the class. So this is called pranayama. It's the basic technique. And this is the basis for all of the different techniques, you know, within the pranayama. It's a big thing. It's a basic thing. You also, and then you close your one nostril and inhale through one nostril. And then exhale through another nostril. Like that we do all this. Different techniques are there. So this pranayama, when you have to do, you cannot have place your mind elsewhere and do pranayama. Now I do purakam, I do kumbhakam, I do rechakam, but my mind is elsewhere. You cannot say that. It is impossible. If you have to do purakam, rechakam, kumbhakam, bahi kumbhakam, anta kumbhakam, mind has to be here. Gavanatha yengiyo vachu pannave mudiyadhu. You can never do pranayama having your mind elsewhere. The mind goes elsewhere means you lost. Understand now? It's impossible. That is why it's best actually. Very good. Many people all like the so-called the present pranayama, the person who teaches pranayama. And the name of new name he gets given. All bold stuff only. But they say they're their own creations. It's all Bhagavan's, you know. So what happens, and they, it's very good now, because all over Jagat it's attractive. No way, it calms the mind so much. Because it calms the mind, there's no moksha here, there's no jnanam here. The problem is not at all solved. The temporary sukham is there. That is why the, now, you know, they do so well, lots of money. The big crowds, big, huge crowds go for these classes. Great attraction. Because it does something. Because it calms the mind. So, but pranayama is good meditation actually. It's a preparation. That's why the very good thing, you know, people who need the mind, you know, who have, want to have, who are full of rajas and they want to have calm mind, means very difficult. Perhaps pranayama is the best. People can't sit to meditate and make the mind calm. Who are not ready for actual manasam karma. What is the best thing? Do pranayama. Pranayama will help you have relatively a calm, serene mind. So, vayu rodhanat manaha liyate. Mind becomes calm. How, like, he gives a beautiful example, you know, illustration. What's that? Jala pakshivat. You know, the pakshi, the bird is flying. You know, freely it's flying here and there. It goes everywhere the bird is flying. Then the atrasha, the mind also goes everywhere, doesn't stay in one object. So scattered, it goes all over. The atrasha, the mind goes all over. So wandering. The wandering, restless, scattered attrition of the mind is held. Just by what? By observing prana, by practicing this breathing exercise. Through, you know, purakam, rechakam, kumbakam, etc. Like what? He says, like the bird, free bird which goes everywhere, is caught held by what? The net. You just the net, just as the bird which gets caught up. No? The net. So also the mind which is all over, which goes all over, atasha, the mind is held by the pranayama exercise. Jala pakshivat, like the bird which got held in the net. Listen, no? Jala pakshivat, the mind which is so scattered with this attention is held by what? The prana. Becomes calm by this practice of pranayama. Is it clear now? There is connection between this mind and the... Why there's a connection? He says next shloka. How observing the prana helps you calm the mind? How attention of the mind being held by prana helps the mind... No, it become calm and quiet. How does it work? Because he says the prana and the mind are nothing but, you know, two sprouts, two things, you know, with two branches which crops up from, which stems from what? Some same root. Root is the same. The two branches come out from the same root. And you know, there's one trunk with two branches, which has the same root. Same root. What? Both are matter. Both are what? Matter in its original subtlest form is what? Maya. Isn't it? Avyakriti. Prakriti. The matter. Material product. A prana also is material product. And also what? Mind also is material product. Both stem the same. Because root is the same, the two branches coming from the same root, there is connection. That is why the mind, observing the prana, helps the mind become calm. Is it clear? So that he is going to say in the next verse.
चित्तवायवश्चित्क्रियायुताः चित्तवायवश्चित्क्रियायुताः Shakhayodvai Shakti Mulaka Shakhayodvai Shakti Mulaka Chittavayavaschit Kriyayutah Chittavayavaschit Kriyayutah Shakhayodvai Shakti Mulaka Shakti Mulaka.
So Chitta Vayavaha. You see, Chitta Vayavaha, Chitta means mind. Chitta means mind. Vayavaha means pranas. Chitta Vayavaha, mind and pranas. Mind and physiological functions. What is mind? Mind also is a function, which is many thoughts, constitution of thoughts. And what about pranas? Pranas are the one vital air involved, being involved in five different functions. Physiological functions. Both are what here? Chitta Vayavaha. They are with the two powers. Chittam has the power of knowing. Mind is endowed with the power of knowing. The capacity to know. Chitt here means not consciousness. In this context, chitt means the power of knowing. Chittam is endowed. Chittam is chityutam. Chittam chityutam means the mind is endowed with the power of knowing, the capacity to know. And then vayavaha kriyayutaha. The pranas are endowed with the power of activity, functioning. Functions. Kriyayutaha. This power of knowing and power of activity, this chitt Chakti Kriyashakti. Understand now? The power of knowing and power of Chitchakti Kriyashakti. Both Shaktis are what? The both powers. This mind is endowed with the power of knowing. The pranas are endowed with the power of activity. These are Chitchakti and Kriyashakti are what? There in the prana and the mind. And those two powers are what he says. Shakayoho dvayi, the two branches. Shakayoho, two branches of one absolute power, which is the moolam, shakti moolakaha. Shakti moolaka means what? They stem from, they emerge from, they sprout from where? In fact, one moola shakti. Shakti moolaka means what? Moola shaktihi. There is one root power. There is one absolute power. There is one beginningless absolute power, which is the matter in its original subtlest form. Moola shaktihi means what? Moola shakti means the root power. What is the root power? Which has no beginning, which has no end, which cannot be created, which is not created, which cannot be destroyed. But which is of the nature of undergoing changes. That Moola Shaktihi is what? Moola Shakti Moolaka means what? Moola Shaktihi. The absolute power is the root of these two powers. What are the two powers? Chit Shakti and Kriya Shakti. The power of knowing, the power of activity. The capacity to know, the capacity to act. And then the power of activity, the power of knowing. These two powers stem from where? One Moola Shakti, which is matter in its subtlest form. These two powers are where now? Where do you see the powers being manifest? You don't see powers through your eyes. You understand the Chitchakti being, now the mind being endowed with the Chitchakti, power of knowing. The pranas being endowed with the Kriya Shakti, the power of activity. Understand now? So he also says what? Quietly, in fact, the mind and these pranas, which impress even all other sense powers also, what now? They're all this, in fact, the powers, power of knowing and power of activity are basically from what? The power of, you know, inertia, in fact, the power of the Moola Shakti, which is matter in its original subtlest form, headed in Tattva Bodha as what? Maya. Remember that word Maya? What is Maya? Is a name given to what? The absolute power. What is absolute power? Imperceptible power. It is not available for thought perception and sense perception. And what is that power? That is the matter in its original form. What form? Subtlest form. How subtle it is? Subtle means it is imperceptible, even not available for thought perception also. Because very root of the very thought. Isn't it? Very existence of the thought. That Maya Shakti, that power is what? Mula Shaktihi. That power is the source of both the powers. What powers here? This Chichakti and Kriya Shakti. Chichakti, where do you understand Chichakti? You don't see the power of knowing separately walking around here. You understand the power of knowing being manifest where? In the mind, isn't it? Power of knowing is where do you understand the power of being manifest? Power of knowing being manifest, where do you understand? In the mind only. See, in the mind, in the form of mind, the power of knowing is manifest. In the form of prana, you see power of activity being manifest. Understand now, these two subtle powers, in fact, they stem from one mula shakti. Therefore, they are interconnected. Therefore, what? The observation of the flow of pranas helps, helps have quiet in the mind. Mind becomes calm. The restless, agitated mind can become relatively serene, quiet mind. Why should you have the quiet mind? So that the quiet mind alone, in fact, quieter the mind, clearer will be the mind. In fact, the restless mind cannot be clear mind. Cannot be clear. Its perceptions cannot think clearly also. For quieter the mind, and it can really, it is the mind, the more the mind becomes quiet, quieter the mind becomes, it becomes conducive for meditation and contemplation. Therefore, he teaches the people who are highly rajasic, full of activities, whose minds are so agitated, for them, pranayama is prescribed as a technique to quieten the mind. Because why? How it helps? Because they stem from the same root. He gives extra explanation. Why? Because this is also activity. This also, in fact, this both are nothing but powers. Manifestation of these two different powers. Prana is, in fact, manifestation of the power of activity. The mind is a manifestation of power of knowledge, knowing. And those two powers basically is from only one power. What is one power? We call it now absolute power. That power is what? It's unmanifest power. Okay? Unmanifest power is what? Unmanifest power of knowing. Unmanifest power of activity. Unmanifest power of inertia. You understand? It together is what? The three powers together constitute what? One Mahashakti, Parashakti, which is said to be the matter in its subtlest form, which doesn't exist outside of awareness. Again, awareness is not the power, but the power is awareness. Parashaktihi, Mahashaktihi, the absolute power, the ultimate power, which alone manifests as the power of knowing, power of inertia, power of activity. These powers, all three powers put together is what? One absolute power. That power is what, in fact? That power is awareness. The power is matter. The matter in its subtlest form is nothing but the power. Matter in its original form is what? The grass matter you see outside in its original subtlest form is just the power. And you can't understand, you can only understand what the power is. You can't see the power. You can't even comprehend the power. You can only understand the power being manifest. This power which is manifest must have been unmanifest before. The manifest power must have been unmanifest before it became manifest. So where does this power exist then? Where does this Shakti exist? What is the existence of the Shakti, the matter in its original subtlest form? Where does the power exist? Power does not exist outside of awareness. Awareness is not the power, but the power is nothing but awareness. Like what I told in the class once. See, the stillness of water. Listen to me carefully. When there is stillness of water, and we see water, the H2O, and stillness. We see two things. There is stillness, there is water. But you cannot say there is no stillness at all, you cannot say. You cannot say stillness is real, because stillness does not exist independent of H2O. You take away water, stillness will disappear. But the water is, when there is undisturbed water, there is stillness of water, isn't it? So stillness is H2O is. So H2O is, stillness is. H2O is not there, stillness cannot be. But when the stillness is disturbed, stillness becomes waves and ripples. Still H2O continues to be there. So what? H2O is satyam, stillness is mithya. What is the stillness now? You cannot say it is satyam, it is unreal. Nor can you say it is unreal, it is non-existent. But what is it then? It exists. It is empirically real, relatively real. And absolutely real. So water is absolutely real. This stillness is what? Empirically, relatively real. So what is it? Mithya. But this, it has, the stillness also has no beginning. Stillness cannot be destroyed. But stillness cannot be destroyed, but still undergoes change. What? It becomes waves. Stillness undergoes a change to become waves and ripples. The waves and ripples become unmanifest. What? Stillness. So stillness is the unmanifest condition of the waves and ripples. Understand how? Stillness is what? Unmanifest condition of waves and ripples. What are the waves and ripples? Modified form of stillness. Whether manifestation of stillness, the waves and ripples, or the unmanifest condition of ripples and waves, the stillness, it is not, doesn't exist outside of H2O. What is satyam is always a satyam. Existence of stillness is H2O. Existence of waves also is H2O. Similarly, the power, the incomprehensibly subtlest power, which is the, you know, the unmanifest power, the absolute power, the Parashakti, Mahashakti, you know, alone is manifest as what? In fact, the power of knowing, the power of activity, the power of inertia also. You know that this is, these are three powers. Together, one power, absolute power. That power is what? Mithya. The power does not exist outside of awareness. Minus awareness, power has no existence. But awareness is not the power, but the power is nothing but awareness. Like what? H2O is not stillness. Are you listening or sleeping? H2O is not stillness, but stillness is H2O. Similarly, awareness, the consciousness, is not the power, but the power is nothing but awareness. Understand now? Therefore, we can say if water, stillness is power, water is, water, stillness is water, when you can say water is the powerful. Here also, the Mula Shaktihi. Shaktihi is, Shaktiman is what? Shiva. Is it clear now? Shaktiman, the powerful. The power, without the powerful cannot be the powerful. Because of power only, the powerful is powerful. But the power cannot exist independent of the powerful. Look at this. That is why it's a quarrel. Shakti Parisa, Shivam Parisa. Who is superior? Without the power, the powerful cannot be the powerful. But the power does not have independent existence. That is why this is matter. Consciousness is not the matter. But the matter in subtlest form, the power is what? The unmanifest power is what? Awareness. I'll make it very clear. Don't worry. We'll do it more later on. I'm doing something which is not required here also. I've gone out of the subject matter to talk to you something. Not in this, not to be said in this context. Why I've said? Because understand a power of activity, power of knowledge. These both powers, basically the powers, the manifest powers. These powers, for the powers is active, power of activity, don't see. You see the power of activity being manifest in the form of pranas, the power of, you know, knowing, power of knowledge, you know, being manifest in the form of mind. These two powers are what actually? The unmanifest Mahashakti, Mula Shakti. Isn't it? So, Chakayoho Dvayi, they stem from what? Same power. One power. Both are material in nature. Both are material in nature. Both are manifestations of matter only. Shakti Moolakaha, just one of the reasons he gives. Therefore, what? The attention is focused on the pranas. You could not understand. Really, attention is held by something means the simplest thing. In fact, anything when you do, that is why be attentive. Always simple teaching. From childhood, people always people tell us, elders tell us, be attentive, be focused, don't be disturbed, don't be scattered. That means what? It is natural for us to be scattered, mind, for mind to go here and there. Whenever you do something, focus attention on that one thing what you are doing, that itself helps you to have what? Calm the mind. Helps you to have a settled, calm, relatively serene mind. That is why we always try to focus attention on something. Any focusing attention on one given thing helps you to take your attention from too many things. It's the only way you can bring the make the scattered attention focus on single pointed attention. The attention is more it is focused on one thing, the thought number of thoughts can be reduced. Number of thoughts is reduced means, in fact, mind is becomes calm and calmer. Less the number of thoughts is, in fact, the mind is calmer. Mind is more quiet. Mind is more serene. This is a secret. And more it is serene, the more it's able to focus on, remain for some more time in the given object. That if here, ultimate purpose is what? Ultimately, you have to recognize the reality, then focus attention on the reality. Mind has to remain absorbed in the nature of the reality. That alone will help you understand the whole Jagat being the only manifestation of only reality. Whole Jagat being Mithya, just the reality, the vision of the non-duality of the reality is possible only when you are able to focus attention on the nature of the reality. And that is possible, you have to recognize the reality first and you will be able to focus attention also. That should be possible. For which mind needs a great amount of practice, you know that. It's not that easy. And that practice, in fact, Shastra study helps. That's why Pavana Punyana Shravanam, repeatedly listening to the same thing will help you have contemplation in the very class. Where is your mind? The more you listen to the subject matter of this Vedanta Shastram, you say Swamiji never makes us now go and sit and do some practice and meditation, all the techniques. Listen. Place your mind in Shastram all the time. Where is your mind? Isn't it? Idea is to ascertain subject matter of the Shastra. So naturally the class itself will become class of contemplation. As you progress more and more and more and you listen, we are not yet complete one Upanishad. Only one textbook we have completed. Tattva Bodha. In that way, how many of it thoroughly said we don't know. Tattva Bodha will become much clearer only when we do next some other text. You know that? One text, even so much of understanding you have now. So mind has to become, just the listening helps the mind become subtle and you really understand. That is why mind is of the nature of restlessness, agitation. So how are you going to quieten the mind, calm the mind? And for the mind to be calm, it's a must that the mind must be free from impurities. Mind must become pure. And the mental purity is possible only when there is alignment in thought, word and deed. Only when there's integration. Only then we can become integrated personality. For which, as well, karma yoga is emphasized. Living a life karma yoga implies being straightforward and being the arjum, rujita, and in fact being identical in thought, word and deed. That is possible only when you live life, only that's how one, you can become pure mentally. Only where there is mental purity, where there's no friction, then there's no the split personality, then there is mental calmness also. And for which again worship is recommended, again kayikam karma is recommended, vachikam karma and manasam karma, then japaha, stavaha japaha, japaha again manasam japaha, there again japaha, that also how interrupted meditation, and how to make it uninterrupted meditation. Look at the order now. And even the meditation, Beda Bhavana. Meditation which involves Beda Bhavana, meditation which involves Abheda Bhavana. Wherein there is Abheda Bhavana, there is contemplation. And the contemplation results in what? Results in the mind abiding in the vision of the non-duality of the reality, which is the Uttama Bhakti, he says. And again he talks about what? How to make this mind calm. How pranayama helps. But the actual important nice verses are following. He is going to tell us how to discover the reality, how aham, etc. He is going to tell us again. Therefore, jala pakshivate rodha sadhanam, like the free bird is caught, now is held by the net. Similarly, the free mind, the mind of scattered attention is in fact held by what? The practice of pranayama. By this, understand? Pranayama. And he says, why? Because the mind, attention of the disturbed, restless mind can be made a calm, serene mind through this practice of pranayama, because the prana is endowed with power of activity, mind is ended with the power of knowledge, and these two powers are in fact the manifestations of the one unmanifest power, the matter in its subtlest form. Therefore, they both stem from the only one power. Is it clear now? That is said, and tomorrow we'll see the rest next things.
Vayurodhana liyate manaha, Vayurodhana liyate manaha, jala pakshiva drodha sadhanam, jala pakshiva drodha sadhanam, chittavayavas chitkriyayuta, chittavayavas chitkriyayuta, Shakayor dvai shakti mulaka, Shakayor dvai shakti mulaka.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate.